case Mont pricing. Now, this is on pricing. We've already talked a lot about pricing, so this one will make a good message to you. We need a reader for number one, watermelons, pricing. Bobby, thank you.
Two watermelon farmers decided to quit farming and go into the watermelon selling business. They began by purchasing watermelons from a nearby town and selling them on their own. They bought a small truck to transport the watermelons. They bought the watermelons at a dollar each, went back to their town, and sold them for a dollar. To their delight, they sold all the watermelons they had purchased. They were very happy, but they wondered where their profit was. They tried one more time. They bought a truckload of watermelons for a dollar each and sold them again for a dollar. Again, they sold out, but still there was no profit. They thought about it again really hard and finally thought of a solution. They went and bought a bigger truck.
Sounds like they didn't take math.
That is...
It's a good metaphor.
That is the... Don't worry about price model. We'll make our profits on volume. That's the example. And that happens. It's funny to read it and think about it. It happens. Incredible. I can't remember their name. There was a big company that put in these huge computer stores about 20 years ago. And they last, maybe it wasn't that long. They didn't last long. Big stores. Something's, I forget their name. If we heard it, the name, if I could think of it, you'd remember it.
Gateway.
Who was it?
Gateway.
No, I don't think it was Gateway. It was big. It was before that.
Packer Bell.
It was what?
Packer Bell.
No.
CompUSA.
Most of those are still, CompUSA is still in business. No. It was huge. These stores were huge. And their model was, we're going to just go in and the big box syndrome of just dominate the market with sheer volume, with selection, and with huge inventories. And I understand, these were smart people that they put in millions and millions. They put these in major cities all over the country. And the story I heard, I think they lasted a year and a half or 2 years. They were losing money on every transaction they sold. They were as bad as this watermelon story.
Worse.
Yeah. They were going down. Their overhead, everything else, they were losing money. And they just kept thinking they were going to dominate the market so much they'd start buying product for less. And they were going to have such a huge market share percentage that it was going to swing on them. Never did swing. And they closed. And now they're... One of them was out by Park Meadows Mall, and now it's a big, huge furniture store or something that was out there. And in Salt Lake, they were out there right by Costco. They were sitting right next to them, and I think that's now a car dealership or something. Yes, Joe?
Doesn't that happen with businesses that expand too quickly? They get one business that's sort of making, in one location, sort of making enough but not quite enough, so they think the thing to do is open another business at another location, and so they just compound their problems.
Absolutely, that does happen. But pricing right is critical. We've already talked about it a lot earlier, but this is just another extreme model of it. Just solve it by buying a bigger truck. So don't buy a bigger truck to solve your pricing problems. Find what's wrong with your pricing problems.
You're killing me. I can't think of the name either. It's where the Great Indoors is now.
Yes, it is.
And it was like purple, and it
yes.
was just this
yes.
way out
oh,
thing.
Yes. Huge. And to go into it, it was like a computer hardware software fantasy land. And it was.
Was it Computer City?
No.
No, it had another kind of a catchy
And I keep on thinking Ultimate Electronics. It's
something
not
universe.
That, but it was
something
oh,
universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Incredible universe.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, that's
it. Is that what it was? Incredible
yeah.
universe.
Yeah.
Incredible universe.
Yeah.
And that's what I understand when they did the post-mortem on that company. They said, they went through all the things that they did wrong, but the one in big bright lights was their pricing. They just... totally missed it. They were in that market of computer hardware. And that's a tough place to be unless you're the manufacturer, the retailer. So, anyway. Don't make crisis.
That's why these guys need to go back and farm and sell it to somebody with a truck.
That's right. keep farming, let somebody else pull their truck in and pick those watermelons up. Okay, so it's that they failed on everything for their not everything. And for you, go through and read the responses to each one of these below. And if you're dealing with one of these issues, if one of these models address, month from now, 6 months from now, go back through and read it, read the responses, then analyze what you're thinking about doing, how you're going to solve it so you are where you need to be, not where these examples are. You had a question over here with Larry?
Two comments about pricing. I used to have I worked for a large company. One of our distributors had a very large sign in his showroom, and it said, "I have no problem with my competitor's pricing. He knows what his products and services are worth." Mm-hmm. And he charged more, and the other guy went out of business. Yeah. The second thing is, I used to track customer satisfaction surveys, and in those surveys, I hardly ever saw price as more than about number 6 on a list of 10. There's always things more important than price, and you need to realize that when you establish your price.
You do, but most people are afraid of that, and they put price at the top. And you hear over and over examples of how improper pricing doesn't work. You have to know your customer, you have to know the whole relationship. Certainly that's been one of the magics of Walmart. It's just incredible growth. Is they knew how to price. And they could be the lowest prices, but they also had their little profit centers. I'm sure their average markup over their whole inventory is 18%. They probably have items in there that are 60%. And they have other items that are 10, 5. So they're smart on how they market, and so they just taking all of us into their stores.
And also when they're purchasing it, they deal.
Oh, definitely.
Well,
definitely. Yes, they do. They do. And that's like, and purchasing is an important part of the whole process with pricing for certain.
It sounds like Nordstrom's also knows how to price.
Absolutely, they do.
But, there's all the fringe benefits.
Yes.
That go with it.
They know their target, they know their customers, and they know where they're at, and they're really the best at that level of what they do.
If you're on the circuit of celebrity lectures, speeches, such as football coaches and things like that, the people that charge the most tend to get more business, just the reverse. If you're not in the status of the elite in pricing, you will be treated seriously.
Well,
so there are extremes.
The whole key is that you're in sync with whatever your model is. If you're charging high prices, there has to be a reason for you to charge those high prices. You can't just do it to be doing it. You do have to be in sync. And if it's a Nordstrom, you have to have a whole package that when the customer walks in, they make a purchase. When they walk out, they said, "That was a good experience, I'll go back." And that's the key. Okay. Did you have someone else here?
Just one comment, John. There's a book out there, I'm sure you read it. It's called Experiential Marketing. Marketing the Experience. And that's exactly what we're talking about.
That's how Starbucks got started.
Uh-huh.
It was the
experiential marketing.
It wasn't the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a pleasant experience while you were there? Are you willing to pay extra for an experience?
Right.
Whether it's a haircut, a coffee, or a memory.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. I've read an editorial a while ago just on Starbucks that the whole concept was to have a place where you could come and just sort of sit with another human being.
The ambience.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, the bookstores are the same way. They have a place to go sit down. Well, if you look on down through, there's a lot on pricing, a lot on common pricing errors. We've talked a lot about them. They're here for you as a review. Mark them, highlight them so you can come back to them anytime. Questions to consider on the upper right-hand corner. Why is lower price not necessarily the best approach? And we've talked about why. What can you do to ensure a higher price and profit? We've talked about how that needs to be accomplished. And what is your pricing strategy? The key is you have to have one. example I gave of the scrapbooking, there was no pricing strategy, just across the board. And business couldn't survive. With great sales, they couldn't survive. Where could you gain additional help from your pricing strategy? Well, I think you gain help by, one, understanding the competition. And that's important. Find out what's going on in the marketplace. Look for new ideas in pricing, creative ways to meet the needs of the customer and enable you to be profitable. Bill Marriott, remember his story was, he stays at 20, 30 hotels a year, competitors. So he knows what they're doing, what they're charging, what they're offering, comes up with new ideas of what they can put into the Marriott chain. So you have to be out and about seeking answers. Okay, let's go to the next study, the bread delivery. Case study number 4.